Blog Talk Radio.
Truth.
In the councils of government, we must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence by the military-industrial complex.
Are the Bible's prophecies today's reality?
This could be the sign that signals the return of Christ.
World leaders are working behind the curtains.
The very word secrecy is repugnant in a free and open society. Secret societies, secret oaths, secret proceedings.
Now, get ready for an hour of truth that will make you think. We'll examine Bible prophecy and see how close we are to the return of Jesus Christ for His church.
You're in the zone. Politics, Israel, the Middle East, the revised European superstate,
and more. All in the zone. This is the Prophecy Zone with your host, Phil Armstrong.
Blog Talk Radio.
The Bible lays out our future, and host Phil Armstrong examines what the Scripture tells of His coming every Thursday and Sunday at 7 on the Prophecy Zone.
What is the New World Order?
The people who are talking about the New World Order, Bible prophecy, may be in danger.
What do you need to be?
Hello, everyone, and praise the Lord. This is Susan Puzio, and we want to welcome you to the Prophecy Zone Network. And I will be broadcasting live every Monday evening on the Prophecy Zone Network at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And tonight we have a special guest. We have Kevin Oliver from the Not Your Typical Negro YouTube ministry. And that is a wonderful ministry on YouTube. It's such a blessing. So informative and right on time for these end times that we're living in. Tonight our program, our topic is going to be the Eddie Long situation that's going on right now in Georgia. And we believe that judgment begins in the house of God. I myself believe that it is a judgment. And we're only seeing the beginning of a house cleaning that God is doing. So there's so much to talk about tonight. We also have a chat room. If you'd like to visit our chat room, I'll be looking for your comments. We'll also have the phone lines open and the call-in number if you'd like to call in and ask Kevin a question or myself. The call-in number is 347-326-9879. We are seeing some interesting things in the news the last few days. One of the news stories that I saw today, which I thought was really amusing, was that the United Nations has put a person on staff for the Office of Alien, like an alien ambassador, but they're talking about UFOs, aliens. Oh, dear. It's like, what next? Just when you think that it can't get any weirder, it really does. But we look to Jesus. We put our trust and our hope in the Lord Jesus Christ, because we know that it is only Him that can save us. It's only Jesus Christ, who is the Prince of Peace, that can bring peace to the world. We see situations in Israel heating up and in Iran, and we can expect just about anything to happen in the days ahead. We've seen so many weird situations with the weather, with pestilence. I mean, who ever heard of this plague of bed bugs that have broken out? And so we know that we're in the end times, but we do these programs because we want to introduce you to someone who can help you, someone who does love you, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. He can save you. He can deliver you from all harm. So put your eyes on Jesus. If you don't know him, you can know him. You can ask him to come into your life, ask him to change your life, and he will give you a new life. I know he did it for me. I know he did it for my guest, Kevin Oliver. So God is good, and he's merciful and kind. So we have this broadcast on Blog Talk Radio every Monday evening, like I said before, at 9 p.m. I also have a program of my own called Prophetic News, and that's on Saturday at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Blog Talk Radio. Also, I have a website, and that is called propheticnews.com. We have a YouTube channel, and the name of our YouTube channel is Jonah T for Tom 48. So you can check out our YouTube ministry, and God has really been blessing that. There's also another ministry called Ultimate Tube. And it's kind of like a Christian version of YouTube. So any way that we can reach out and be a blessing to the world, that's what we want to do. So it's so important to be able to be a voice. And we feel like we're a voice of one crying out in the wilderness to prepare ye the way of the Lord, because the Lord Jesus Christ is coming back to earth. We know, almost everyone knows, that he did at one time live on the earth. He lived in Israel. He walked the streets of Jerusalem. And he's coming again to save the world. So we don't fear what we see in the world. We don't fear the things that are happening, because we know that our life is short. Our life is just a vapor, really. We're just passing through this place, this planet we call Earth. And we're on our way to a wonderful planet that we call heaven. Hallelujah. And heaven is a real place. It's a real city. God the Father lives there. All the saints that have passed on live there, that are born again and have come to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we know this earth is not our home. We know that when we leave, there is life after death. Yes, there is life after death. We only get one opportunity in this life to live our lives and come to know the reality of the Lord Jesus Christ and God the Father. So I want to encourage you to listen closely to this program tonight, because there will be some information that will really bless you. And we want to be a ministry that keeps people informed and keeps people close to God's Word, because that's our guidebook. That's the book we live by. And so that's our purpose here tonight. I'm going to bring my guest on, Kevin Oliver, and you're going to be really blessed tonight by this interview. Hi, Kevin.
Hello, Susan. How are you?
Good. Great to hear you.
It was a blessing listening to you as you were introducing your program, and as you were giving glory to God and letting people know that Christ is coming back.
Amen.
I wanted to say, and we spoke last time where there was so much that we talked about, and I wanted to be sure that I started off by saying that Jesus Christ is Lord. Christ is real. He is God.
Yes.
The Bible is true, regardless of all the scandal and all these different political discussions and disputes and strife and all any type of scandal, whatever arena, does not negate the truth of the Word of God.
Amen.
People are in scandal, people are finding opportunity to discredit the Bible and discredit the church and discredit, and people just need to be reminded that the Word of God still stands. It's still true. Sin is still sin. Christians, we still have the responsibility to trust in Christ and live a holy life. It doesn't matter what these other folks doing, Eddie Long or whatever. And so I wanted to be sure that I made that clear. I wanted to say that for the record.
Amen. Amen. Because that's the truth. Because people in the world, when they look at these kind of scandals and these things that are going on, they don't really understand what true Christianity really is, and how. People that there are so many wonderful people that love the Lord with all their heart.
Absolutely.
And try to live the best kind of life possible. And the Bible is so full of warnings and telling us how to live and telling us the pitfalls to avoid. So it's a terrible thing, really, when someone falls and leaves God's word to go their own way. It's really a sad situation because it affects so many people. Just
it
that
does.
One person.
It does.
The things that they do affect so many people. But we pray that from this whole situation that's happening now that God will get glory.
Mm-hmm.
And he'll take it and make something good out of it. I just want to remind the audience tonight that our chat room is open, and the phone lines are open. I'll give you the toll-free, or it's not a toll-free number, excuse me, but I'll give you the phone number. If you'd like to call in, if you have any questions during our discussion, the number is 347-326-9879. One of the things, Kevin, because I noticed that you put up a couple of videos on your YouTube channel about the Eddie Long situation, and the thing that is really the most important, besides all the sex scandal and all that that's going on, is the false teaching and what led to the fall.
Right, right. And the false teaching is indeed the root issue.
Right.
And in many ways, the false teaching inevitably leads to corruption. It leads to debauchery.
Right.
It leads to excess and greed. It leads to pride.
Yes.
So the kind of teaching that we're talking about, some people call it prosperity, some people call it the word of faith, or what all those terms are applicable, but at the root, it's really man's, to just speak plainly, is man-centered teaching, man-centered philosophy, meaning that you, the individual, you are in control of your destiny. You can even control God. You can manipulate God. You can do things to get God to do what you want him to do.
Yeah.
And you even twist it to make it and say that the Bible says that. So it backs up what you say.
Yeah.
So, you know, so that's the, so when you have that kind of philosophy that you operate by, you may start off saying that you're trusting in God and trusting in Christ, but you're really not. You really have made yourself your own God. And so, you know, that kind of attitude, you know, builds up over time. And this is what you see. You see scandal. You see, you know, disruption. And I am not making a judgment per se about Eddie Long, because I know we're talking about him tonight, but just we could use him as a template or as an example for
right.
many who have come before him that have been found guilty in a court of law, and some who have not been found guilty in a court of law, but they were still guilty
right
before God. So So I think I'll stop there. But
well,
some
of the history behind Eddie Long, because I don't know how many years you've actually been in the Atlanta area.
Born and raised there.
Okay, then. So then you know the whole situation with Earl Polk.
Exactly.
And so was he raised up under that ministry? If you would tell our listeners a brief history of that situation.
Okay, I can't give you like intimate details because I never attended either one of these churches, but I lived and grew up within 2 or 3 miles of pretty much both of these churches.
Oh,
so I knew people. As a matter of fact, my house now, where I live now, I live walking distance from Bishop Eddie Long's house.
Wow.
I mean, literally, the subdivision that I live in, I'm separated from his subdivision by a railroad track and some trees.
Oh.
So he sees those. So I see the media circus, with the cars and stuff in front of his house and going up and down the street and all that.
Yeah.
But in terms of a history of these ministries, Bishop Eddie, let's talk about New Birth first.
Yeah.
New Birth, Eddie Long did not start the New Birth Church. That church was started, if I'm not mistaken, it was the pastor prior to him was a man named Kenneth Samuels.
Okay.
And very quickly, Kenneth Samuels, when he left, and Eddie Long took over in 1986, but Kenneth Samuels went on to start pretty much another mega church. Which a few years later, he switched to a denomination where he began performing gay marriages and ordaining gay ministers. That's just a whole other story. I'm just letting you know that as a quick sidebar.
Wow.
So the name Kenneth Samuels, keep that in mind.
Okay,
but, Eddie Long took over as pastor, and at that time, New Birth was pretty much a traditional Baptist church. Well, I'll say traditional, somewhat of a traditional, I'll say Black Baptist church.
Okay.
And I don't have time to get into a whole bunch of detail explaining, but I'll just say that for now. But then the church began to grow. It was in one location, and then they outgrew that location, and they eventually moved to the property that they're at now. But Eddie Long then went on to join up with another, I guess, denominational organization called the Full Gospel Fellowship. I can't remember the name of it, but there's a man by the name of Paul Morton, Bishop Paul Morton.
Oh, yeah, Paul Morton, yeah.
Right. So Paul Morton started this organization, which was supposed to be a mix of Pentecostalism and the traditional Baptist. So it was kind of like this new kind of thing. So
yeah.
Eddie Long became a part of that.
Oh, I see.
Now, let's tie that to Earl Park. Earl Park, who is now passed away now. Earl Park is recognized as a giant in the charismatic movement. And he started a church called Chapel Hill Harvester, the name of the church, but it was the Cathedral of the Holy Spirit. That was the name,
right.
Another name of the church. And I remember when I was in high school in the 80s, I remember that church being very powerful, even back in the early 80s. It seemed like everybody went to that church. Very influential church. It was very influential in the charismatic movement, which kind of started to begin to take off and somewhat in the it kind of really took off in the really like the late 80s and early 90s.
Yeah.
But his church was like on the forefront.
Yeah.
So he was a TBN favorite.
Yeah.
You know, he was the man. And he had a lot of respect within that charismatic community. But turns out that over the decades, he was involved with several women in the church, and even his own granddaughter came forward and said that some inappropriate things happened.
He also had his son, Donnie Earl, with his brother's wife.
He had his brother's wife, one of the most vile sins in the book.
Yes.
He had his own brother's wife, and I don't know right now if that was kept hidden or not.
It was until when the sex scandal broke, they had to all have DNA tests, and that's how Donnie Earl found out Earl Polk was really his father instead of his uncle.
Right. Now, when you say the sex scandal, there was more than one sex scandal that broke out at that church. But the most recent one, it was the one before he died, where the lady who, you know, claimed that pretty much the same identical claim that the young men in the Eddie Long case are making, that he used his position, he quoted scriptures. She even said that he passed her around to the visiting preachers that would come into town.
Yes.
And so it's pretty much the same exact case, and that case eventually was dismissed. And he even admitted, if you remember this, he admitted what he did. He got in front of the congregation, and as a matter of fact, he did it the same way that Eddie Long did. He said that he wanted to apologize for some inappropriate things happened. He didn't say exactly what he did, but he said enough. And, you know, of course, the people clapped and forgave him.
But at one time that church was about 10,000 people, wasn't it? But it cleared out. It started to clear out, and it went bankrupt when Donnie Earl took it.
Right, after the sex scandal. Now, as it relates to the link between Earl Polk and Eddie Long, I'm not completely clear on what their relationship is. It's supposedly Polk mentored him somewhat.
Yeah.
And that most likely happened because of the proximity of the churches being so close to one another.
Yeah.
I mean, they're literally like down the street from one another. So, I have to speak in racial terms because, you know, this is how it was. Chapel Hill Harvester was back then almost completely, white congregation.
Yeah.
And see, in the county, you know, where I lived back at that time, you had a lot of the middle class was growing particularly for black people at that time in the late 70s, early 80s. They began to move into certain areas of Atlanta. That was
really
county where
to
I
grow,
lived.
Atlanta.
Right. It began to change. The South DeKalb area began to change.
Yeah.
The racial makeup began to change. So Chapel Hill Harvester for a long time was a majority white congregation, and then, you know, over the years as the population changed, you have churches on the rise. Like in that area, New Birth was the up and coming church in South DeKalb.
Yeah.
So, you know, so you got a big church and you got another big church here. So, and so when you got ministers get big time like that, you know, they start developing these partnerships. So I imagine probably something like that happened. But, you know, there's a plan for success that a lot of preachers follow. I'm saying success in quotes, where there's certain things that you have to do in order to build up your ministry. Like
you gotta
put a book out.
Yeah.
You gotta get a radio and TV presence.
Yeah.
You know, you have to, certain things that you have to do strategically. You gotta build relationships with the right people.
Yeah.
This is what Creflo Dollar did. I mean, this is what these people have done. So I imagine, you know, things began to develop that way. Then you got to get on TVN. That's the ultimate. Once you get on TVN, the checks start rolling in.
Oh yeah.
That's pretty much what happened with Eddie Long. He was just in the right place at the right time.
He kind of came out of nowhere, really.
He did, and you know that. And just to kind of speak to the, you know, just overall how these things happen, you know, a lot of these big time preachers out here, they don't get to where they are just because they're so smart or just because
they preach good,
just because they preach good or just because it doesn't have very much to do with them per se.
Exactly.
They happen to be in the right place at the right time, or they happen to look good.
Or they know how to raise money at telethons.
They got a little something, so they hook up with, and they get in this partner. They always talk about these partners. You can be a partner with us. See, that once you become a partner with one of these big time ministries, all of those resources that they have become available to you. So the TV production, everything you need to get started. It's almost like how Motown or Disney or Disney.
They have
a formula. All you have to do is sell out,
and then you can be a member of the club.
they groom you, they do everything for
you.
So you don't have to do very much. It's almost like a turnkey. It's almost like a franchise, like having a Burger King franchise.
Yeah.
You know, all you have to do is pay enough money. Anybody can get a franchise. All you have to do is have, $250,000, $500,000? You don't have to have a... And you can get a franchise. It's the same concept with these churches.
Yeah.
Whew, wow, that was a good run there.
Yeah, that was good. But, I mean, I understand what you're saying because I was kind of there myself, you know, on my way. And I saw, wow, you know, I'm not going to do that. You know, I said,
right.
Now, I'm not doing that. I'm not selling the gospel. No, I'm not doing it. And you can see... you know, what happens to these people when they do start pimping themselves out and selling the gospel for fame and fortune? Mm-hmm. They just wind up losing everything. And it's like, I think it's in Proverbs, is it, or Ecclesiastes, where it says about your name, you know, it's so important to have a good name. And then once your name is ruined, it's so hard to get it back. So you can see, like, this whole thing with Eddie Long, I mean, he's never going to get his reputation back, never, even if he's found guilty, I mean, innocent, which he won't be. You know, I believe there's something to, you know, there's really something to the whole story.
Well,
and you
said Ecclesiastes 7:1, a good name is better than a good ointment.
Yeah, that's it.
Or, of course, expensive perfume.
Yeah.
But see, a good name doesn't matter if you got enough money, because you can buy a good name back. You understand what I'm saying?
Like, I know what you're saying.
I mean, because it happens every day. We, And all you do is do like Juanita Bynum did. You know, Juanita Bynum changed her name to Juanita Bynum the Second. See how easy it is?
That's no, I didn't know she changed it to Juanita Bynum the Second.
No, she did.
We haven't heard too much. There hasn't been too much lately, too much about Juanita since she separated from Tommy Weeks. But, you know, it seems like the Atlanta area is like a real hub for a lot of these false teachers.
Now, let me tell you about Atlanta. Atlanta is, well, let's talk about Atlanta is okay. I gotta talk racial politics again because this is very key to what we're seeing. Atlanta, back in the day, and I'm talking about when I graduated from high school in 1984.
Okay.
And all of my peers at the time and everybody and young people from all over, everybody wanted to come to Atlanta. Atlanta was once referred to as the Black Mecca. And it was called the Black Mecca because of the what people perceived to be the opportunity for black people to succeed. You have the historically black colleges like Spelman, Morris Brown, Clark Atlanta University. You know, then you have the, you know, this is where, you know, Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King was, you know, the home of Dr. King. You know, so it's, you know, a lot of history there. A lot of
his daughter actually attends Eddie Long's church.
And
Bernice.
And we're gonna get to that too.
Yeah.
So you had a lot of people moving to Atlanta. And then Atlanta, we had a very charismatic and popular mayor, Maynard Jackson in the 70s.
Yeah.
He was a very progressive mayor, and black people were in politics, and so
and
a lot
CNN
of people, a lot,
is there too.
Exactly. So a lot of people wanted to move to Atlanta. So then you got ITC, which is the Interdenominational Theological Center, which I'm going to be talking about in a video later. It's a very liberal. Well, I don't even want to talk about it right now. But
okay.
this is where Eddie Long got his Master of Divinity from.
Now that's a story in itself. Yeah.
That's where Bernice King graduated, and I believe Dr. King himself. No, Dr. King didn't. But the point is, a lot of prominent black preachers. So first of all, you have a lot of black people coming to Atlanta seeking success. You have a lot of educated black people in Atlanta, and then a lot of theological seminary preachers who want to be professional preachers who want to be in ministry.
Professional preachers, right.
You got ITC is here. So you got to come to Atlanta. You got to go to ITC or Morehouse because that's where Dr.
Morehouse,
King went.
Morehouse, that's where Dr. King went.
Right, exactly.
Morehouse. And now tell the people a little bit about, just briefly about Morehouse, because I think that's interesting, that whole connection.
Was
it Morehouse at one time, or is it still liberal?
What, Morehouse College?
Yeah.
Really, it's ITC, really. But
okay.
Yeah, Morehouse is pretty much a liberal institution. Yeah, it's pretty much a liberal arts college.
Yeah.
For the most part. Yeah.
So now ITC stands for, what does it stand for again?
Interdenominational Theological Center.
Okay.
And now that's very key because, as I mentioned, you have the professional black clergy, the headquarters of the Mecca for the professional black clergy is pretty much Atlanta because of ITC. So we talk about the prominence of false teachers, or at least as it relates to false teachers who happen to be black. A lot of them are concentrated here in Atlanta because of, as I mentioned, because of the population, and because of all those other things that I mentioned that attract the people who are in the clergy, that attract them here, and you know, partially because of ITC.
Yeah.
And
it's interesting because I never heard about ITC.
Also, TBN has a major, one of their
major
studios is in Atlanta, not very far from me, as a matter of fact.
Yeah.
So, and I live in specifically in Lithonia, Georgia, which is right next to Stone Mountain. I can see Stone Mountain.
Oh yeah, yeah.
From my house. So right around me, I have New Birth is near me. Paul Morton's church used to be near me. I had Earl Paul's church, some other churches. But now, that's on the east side, the southeastern side of Atlanta. On the west side, on the southwest side, that's Creflo Dollar's territory.
Yeah.
and I'm saying they consider themselves sister churches. Now, Creflo Dollar doesn't have the same education. He didn't come from like the same educational and tradition that Eddie Long does.
No.
But
he's a Copeland Hagen.
Right, exactly. But all of that stuff I said, that kind of, you know, TBN being here, the large concentration of black population, the ITC and the universities here, there are a lot of things that kind of contribute to, a lot of mega churches being here.
Yeah. I do see a caller, and I will take your call in a few minutes, caller, so just keep hanging on. Now, this you're saying about this ITC, because I noticed
right.
that so many, the few times that I had heard Eddie Long preach, my opinion of him was, I didn't even think the guy was born again. He didn't even sound, the way he preached, he didn't sound like a saved person. So basically, this ITC college isn't really a place where people get saved.
Well, I'm sort of over. I don't want to overstate the relevance of ITC in Eddie Long's background. I think the Eddie Long we see today, the preaching that we've seen over the past that's made him popular. That's
yeah.
been from the influence of Earl Polk and the TBN crowd.
Right.
The
TBN crowd, yeah.
Yes, so I would say that's what that's due to. But just to speak to ITC in general, the trend in seminaries in general over the past, few decades, they've been trending to be more liberal. And what we mean by that is that, I mean, you have, professors who outright are not born again. They don't
right.
believe in a real Christ. They approach the Bible from simply as a text, just like a novel or some other piece of literature, then they examine the Bible as a text. They don't view the Bible as the Word of God.
Yeah, there you go.
As something that has power, has life.
Right.
So
textbook.
Right. So there's a seminary I read in the news recently where they were about to close. They had some financial trouble, so they came up with the idea of making this institution where we're going to train Muslim imams, we're going to do Buddhists, and we're going to teach Christianity all in one under one roof.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm serious. So that is the trend. So you know, ITC is part of that trend. So it's a very very liberal. And you know, we can probably talk about that another time because I'm actually doing some research and I actually know one of the deans personally at ICC, because ICC is composed of like four or five different individual seminaries, but all together collectively they're known as ICC.
Yeah, that's interesting. That's a very interesting story right there.
Yeah,
this
liberal trend in institutions, and then you have the rise of New Age teaching.
Right.
All this stuff is taking place at the same time. So that's how you were able to get an Eddie Long. That's how you're able to get a Creflo Dollar or a Earl Polk and, some of these
that's
other people.
That's his son, Donnie Earl. He went way off. I mean, that church there, Church in the Now, Jim Swilley, who is the nephew of Earl Polk.
That's down the street. That's down the street from me,
yeah.
too.
Yeah. I mean, that's another,
And these churches are huge.
Yeah. It's a big place, but they teach ultimate reconciliation. There's no hell. You don't.
Mm-hmm.
You can be saved without knowing it.
Mm-hmm.
This is an outgrowth of really, really what Earl Polk believed. And
mm-hmm.
he deceived so many people. You know, he was on, like you said, he was on TBN. He was all over the place. But yet his doctrine was so messed up.
Earl Polk was known for, he came up with something called Dominion Theology or something.
Right, yeah.
Either Dominion Theology or something related to that, where
yeah.
it was basically the same. It was linked with Charismatic movement. It was one of the things that defined the Charismatic movement, because that pretty much taught that the kingdom of God, that basically the Christian's responsibility in the earth was to basically to take over the earth.
Take over, right.
Basically that we were to take over, and we would be to bring God's kingdom to every area of the earth. So when
yeah.
the political,
when the financial,
the financial, that was, and his, I guess his evidence for that would go back to Genesis, where God told Adam to have dominion over the earth, be fruitful and multiply and so on and so forth.
Yeah.
What the funny part about that is when you get to Genesis 3, God revoked, after Adam and Eve sinned, God revoked that authority. He cursed Adam, he cursed the man, he cursed the woman, he cursed he cursed the serpent.
Yeah.
He said that the woman would be subject to her husband, and the man would work by the sweat of his brow. And he kicked man out of the garden. So
yeah,
they didn't have dominion over everything after that. There was some problems after sin came.
We know about that for sure,
And it won't be rectified until Christ returns.
That's right.
That's when it'll be rectified.
Yeah, we're here now. Let me take this call and see what this
mm-hmm.
caller has to say. So hang on, Kevin.
All right.
Hello, caller.
Yes, I'm here.
Yes, what is your comment?
I actually have a question. Maybe you all that are in the ATL area can give us, who are not in that area, a little insight. I have a question about the young man bringing the case. I just kind of wonder why was maybe a lawsuit filed, or why was it, why didn't they just come forward instead of doing any kind of suing? I mean, because in my opinion, it didn't seem like they would win if they were, if they were of age when these allegations allegedly took place.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just wondering that in. I personally kind of believe it, but I'm just leaving that out of this right now. I'm just kind of wondering on the other side why maybe the lawyers possibly took the case, and why did they even bring it, to this point, to do it this way instead of maybe just kind of coming forward like the guy did with the Ted Hagger case.
Yeah.
You know, I have, I thought about that a whole lot. And one of the things that has got me about this whole thing is I'm wondering how they got in touch with this particular attorney. And the reason is because this attorney is very, she's one of the top criminal defense attorneys in Georgia. She handled a very high-profile case in Georgia that received national attention. It was in the Gennaro Wilson case.
Right. That's why I think they – that's why I put that together is because
right.
she did such a good job. They probably knew about her, you know, representing that young man. So
So you're thinking about a person, and I don't know how old the young men are, but to answer your question is, I don't know. I can say that this lawyer is obviously following a strategy that she thinks will be successful in some way, and
yeah, absolutely.
And I don't know what successful looks like because I thought about it, and if it were me, and by the way, I experienced molestation when I was a very young child, and I don't remember it. My memories are very faint about it.
Yeah.
But I can't speak on it on specifically if it happened to me by a preacher, and I was older, in the situation that they were in. But I can't think that I would want any money. I would think that I would want the person to admit what they did. But
okay.
See, the thing about that is you're fighting an uphill battle. It's almost a battle of will.
Exactly.
It doesn't It doesn't really seem to be about money.
No.
Okay. I don't think money would be. I would consider money damages to be a successful outcome if that was something that happened to me as a man. I'm saying that as a man.
Yeah.
I would want the world to know. I would want somebody. I would want him to admit what he did. And I think that maybe that is what this attorney is trying to do. Is trying to force Eddie Long, if he did do something, force him in the position to admit something. Which, by the way, he in a way did in his
yeah.
address to the congregation when he
yeah.
said twice, "I'm not a perfect man."
Right. I thought that was kind of a way where if more evidence comes out, which I'm sure there will be some more breaking news in the days to come, is that
right.
He'll have a way to kind of prepare people for what's coming. Because I thought it was kind of a good strategy that they used because he brought his wife out. She was there with him. They were he was holding hands, and then they had this press conference. Which, by the way, at first they were going to allow the reporters, they invited the reporters into the room
mm-hmm.
after the service to have a press conference, and they told them
mm-hmm.
that they were invited to ask questions. And they lured them in there, and then when they got there, mainly the stage was set for Eddie Long to say whatever he wanted to the world is the reason why
mm-hmm.
they invited all those reporters, and then they were not allowed to ask one question.
He just basically said the same thing. He said, my thing is, I hope we've answered your question, caller, and your voice sounds familiar. I think I know who you are. But
there's another one, too. So.
You have another caller?
Yeah. You want to take
okay,
the call?
Well, yeah, we might as well. I hope we answer a question.
Yeah. Hello, caller.
Okay, good. Thank you.
Do you have a question?
I'm sorry. I'm still the same person. I actually lost the call, and I just called back in to say that you did answer my question.
Okay.
Okay, great.
Thank you. All right.
Thanks.
God bless.
All right.
All right, then.
My thing with as far as whether he did it or not, Susan, the way he has handled it so far, in my view, has not been the proper example. And you know, people will say, well, it doesn't matter what he said. You know, he wouldn't have been satisfied. Nobody would be satisfied with it anyway. And my thing is, he got it. He used the pulpit. He misused the pulpit. In other words, the pulpit should be used to preach the gospel. And I know there's not really such thing as a pulpit in the Bible, so I can't say what the pulpit definitively should be used for. But I'm saying any place which is dedicated to the preaching of the word, whether it's the front steps or on YouTube or whatever.
Yeah.
Wherever you are to proclaim, and you're God's messenger, wherever you stand to proclaim, that's what you're to use that place for. I think it's inappropriate to use that place to personally defend yourself. I think it's wrong to use it to put on a show, which I think is what Eddie Long did. You know, bringing up his wife and dropping the microphone and using these dramatic scriptures and out of context and walking off the stage and in a dramatic fashion. I think if he were to do anything, he should have gotten up there and preached the gospel and left it at that.
Yeah.
And if he had anything to say in his defense, that should have been done elsewhere. But I just think that he misused the pulpit. I think that he misused an opportunity to bless his accusers, which is what you're supposed to do. Instead, he said himself, 'cause that's what Christ said: love your enemies and do good to those who despitefully use you.
Yeah.
What he did was he went in that pulpit and he made these boys his enemy. And he also made that congregation their enemy. And instead of saying, I want to say to these young men that, you know, I don't know, you know, what I did to you, or he didn't have to get into that. He said, I want these young men, I want them to know that I love them and I forgive them.
Right, if he was really innocent.
That's what I would expect a gospel Bible preacher to say.
Right, you're right.
And I'm going to tell you something, Susan. I've been accused. I've been accused of some heinous, not as bad as that, but I've been accused. When I was accused. I've been accused. I've been where I've had charges against me, and you know, people looking at me crazy and thinking I did, and when I was completely innocent. And you know, I told people that I was innocent. I went to the DA and told him. Gave him proof of my innocence. I didn't, you know, but the person, the people who accused me, I never said anything negative about these people, about this person rather, because I that was just something that I could not do, because I just couldn't do that as a Christian. That's not the example in Scripture. And so I think that Bishop Long, I think he failed. That's what he seriously failed, whether or not he did it or not. I don't think he's going to he was a poor example this past Sunday, and he's been a poor example in his teaching, which we haven't gotten a lot into, but and so that's what I wanted to say about this whole thing. You know, there's a lot of talk and a lot of discussion about, well, let's not judge him and wait till all the facts come in. And then you on the other side, you got people saying he's guilty of sin. You know, let's hang him. And,
the thing is, though, Kevin, like we said, the real situation going on there is the doctrine, the false
Absolutely.
Doctrine,
That's right.
and the false teachings, the standing ovation. It's like to look at these people that are sitting there at this huge church and claiming to go and hearing Bible teaching, and their pastor has just been accused of molesting four men, young men, And when he comes in the building, yeah, it's a show. They stand up and they give this man a standing ovation. It was really an awful sight. It was a sad day for the body of Christ, really. It really was.
I don't even know what to say. It was sad. And you know, we mentioned earlier, Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King's daughter is a associate minister at his church.
Yeah.
And this is a sort of like a side conversation that nobody is ready to talk about yet, probably, but the SCLC is the Southern Christian Leadership Conference.
Okay.
That is an organization that Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King started or helped start, and it was one of the key civil rights organizations, and it was organized for the ministers, for ministers who were going to work collectively in the civil rights movement. You know, to organize, help organize people, to organize marches. You know, that kind of thing. So that's what the LCLC was started for. Well, the organization's headquarters is in Atlanta. They've been embroiled in some controversy over the past couple of years because of money coming up missing and all kinds of just court cases, all kinds of drama. and Bernice King was elected to be the president of SCLC.
Oh.
She couldn't take office because there was a civil court case that left the organization under a cloud. Well, that case has been resolved now. And just as she was about to take her position with the SCLC, this happens.
Oh.
So there's going to be some scandal controversy. She's in a pickle right now because she just came out of some controversy, dealing with controversy with one thing. Now she's associated with Eddie Long. Possible, not pedophile, but manipulator, possible sexual abuser, possible this, possible that. And she's on the stage with him.
Well, she was there yesterday collecting the tithes.
She was there yesterday. I tell you, it didn't look good.
No, it didn't look good. No, it didn't look good.
I can tell you right now, there are a lot of prominent people. And I want to mention another thing that, you know, New Birth Church is a status church. The black elite in the county that I live in, they all go to that church.
Well, they're going to be running out the door.
The police chief, all of the judges, all the top politicians, the top radio DJs.
Not for long.
Yeah.
When this stuff starts flying.
Yeah, so
they're going to be hitting the door.
Yeah, so a lot of people are real nervous right now, you know, because there are people that go to church purely for networking purposes.
Yeah.
So, you know, a lot of people are upset right now, but you mentioned something very important early in the program, Susan. I know we're about to go, but you talked about the effect on people's lives. This is
right.
going to affect.
That's
there's
right.
going to be some divorces behind this.
Yeah.
Because, you know, One person wants to leave the church, and the other person wants to say no because that's my bishop.
Right.
There's going to be business opportunities lost. People are going to lose their minds.
Many, many business opportunities lost. Yes.
You know, some people literally going to end up in the same asylum.
Right.
You know, so we need to be in prayer for people. Yeah. We're angry, upset. We have condemnation for Eddie Long and what he may or might have done, but we can't forget that this is going to disrupt anytime. This is the problem with the way these mega churches are set up where they're centered around one person.
One person.
And it's organized like a business. Because
right.
If something happens to that one person, it disrupts the lives of everybody in that church.
Yeah.
And we've seen this in, you know, Church Without Walls with Paula White's church. We see it in some of these. There are all kinds of situations where we see this. So and it's going to happen in this church. So and a lot of people are going to be hurt.
That's right. A lot of people are going to be hurt. And like you said, business people, the people that were associated with him. Well, when this kind of scandal breaks, you find out who your friends really are. So,
mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, Eddie Long's going to find out he doesn't have too many friends.
That's right. Absolutely. You know, there are people that are going to walk away from God.
Oh, yeah.
Behind this. At least in their minds they are. But you know, so this is not something that can, you know, that's to be taken lightly. I most certainly don't take it lightly.
No, I don't either. I mean, it's very sad. It is very, very sad. It's sad for his children because I know he's
mm-hmm.
got four children. And
mm-hmm.
I mean, they have to be really hurting because they're totally innocent. You know, they don't have anything to do with it. So, and it's unfortunate that your father doesn't think about those things.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it is a sad situation. So, you know, it's a great topic. It's an interesting topic. You know, there's just, you know, the hour flew by. And there's so much more to talk about. I don't know if we have one more caller. Let me take this call real quick. I don't know if this is the same person. Let's take this call real quick. Hello, caller.
Yes, hello. Good evening.
Yes.
Hello.
Hi. My name is Asia. Good evening. Hey, Kevin.
Hey.
How you doing?
I'm doing great.
That's good to know. Enjoy the fellowship this evening and just really wanted to comment. You know, just thinking about this whole situation, I think about the now four young men that have come out to all say that some inappropriate sexual activity took place between them and Long. It kind of makes you think now, thinking about the, you know, dynamic of just the African-American community and how we really look down towards homosexual anything, it takes a lot of umption to come out as a young black man. All these men were African-American to just come out
mm-hmm.
and say that they had these inappropriate relations with Long. And
mm-hmm.
to me, while like with everyone else, I am not saying that he's guilty or innocent. I have an opinion, sure, but it certainly brings a lot more credibility to these young men given the cultural and the surrounding circumstances with them coming out and saying this at all. I do agree that this is, I mean, while it may be about money to some degree,
mm-hmm.
I look at that balance and say to myself, wow, you know, that's not something someone would just, you know, scream from the rooftops, and they haven't
that's
hidden their
true.
Names in the lawsuit.
I agree with you 100%.
Exactly.
Michael.
They haven't hidden their names. Like, they put their pictures out there. Their names are out there. We know who these gentlemen are.
Yeah.
So it's not like they're trying to hide. And
not only that, Asia, but three of the young men, I believe, are in the Atlanta area, but the fourth young man was in another state, in North
right.
Carolina.
Charlotte, North Carolina,
yeah.
And also his father has gone on the record and given an interview talking about what he experience and what he experienced as far as his son and his interaction with Eddie Long, and I think that's very, very significant. I'm going to see if I can. I'm going to put that link on your page.
I remember reading it. I remember reading
mm-hmm.
the testimony of the father, and the father saying how he couldn't compete with Long in his gifts. Like Long
mm-hmm.
would be taking him to, you know, you're taking him to Kenya and buying him a Bentley. I can't compete with that. I would agree with father, and
mm-hmm.
but I would have much issue with another man taking that much
interest
in myself.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, and I'm sure he did, but there was kind of like the, I know there was the double edge, like, what, you know, what do you do? You know, I definitely understand both sides. It's, I mean, I agree that the, all, and this is why it's making it so hard for me to not believe Bishop Long. Like I said, I don't know. The fact that he is already a false teacher, he is already in enmity with God, I do not believe he is born again. Not at all. Not
right.
What
right.
He is, what he is
that's,
preaching
that's
or what
true.
He is saying. So, you know, and I love my Christian brothers and sisters, but they kind of irritate me with this just pray for him stuff.
Oh, yeah, I know.
I
but
love
the
them.
Thing is, like, just Kevin, briefly, because you know we're not on the air, but this show is recording, so that when people will go back and listen, they'll hear these comments.
Okay.
Explain to the people why it's important to talk about these things, and just not that you know that cliche. Oh, just pray for them. Why is it important to expose this?
Well, it's important first of all because the Bible says to do so. That's the first thing.
Right.
So the Bible specifically warns or admonishes in several passages. Peter, 2 Peter, 2 Timothy 3 and 2 Timothy 4. But all throughout, particularly the New Testament, there is a specific admonishment to identify false teachers, and there's this emphasis in protecting God's flock.
Yes, yes.
Protecting God's flock from the influence of false teachers.
Right.
So while the individual Christian, while we have a responsibility to live a spirit-filled life and see God for ourselves. The being a disciple is a process. It's not we don't just get saved and we just all of a sudden
that's
we just
right.
have everything super powerful and we can just you know beat every devil and you know we know you know all we have our theology down pat and we can see the devil coming from a mile away. It doesn't work that way. This is a community which I think that we have lost. That concept of community amongst Christians, that's something else that I want to talk about at some point. But we have this community has to be protected.
That's right.
And because there are people, the scripture talks about that there are people who are seeking to, and not only people, but Satan himself, seeking to destroy and to
kill and destroy.
Win disciples for himself.
Right.
For people seeking to destroy God's work. So it's important to identify false teachers, point them out, and actively refute them. Scriptures even say that as well.
Yeah.
So we can't just say, well, just pray as if, you know, as if that, I mean, I do, and I believe that God can and God does do things based on us praying. He can do whatever he wants to do when he wants to do it.
Yes.
But there are things that he specifically told us in the scriptures to do, and we can't just ignore those instructions.
That's right. That's right. Amen to that. I mean, it is important because it's a scary thing, really, to see how much power these people have over the minds of the people that are sitting there in the churches. And it was one interesting thing that you said on your video, and I like to say it too, about the critical thinking, how they've taken away their ability to think clearly. And they don't want them to think. They just want them to go there and listen to everything this one person is saying, to follow them blindly, and never to look at God's word from themselves to see if what they're saying to them even lines up. They've got them so thoroughly brainwashed. It's amazing how these people are so effective. They really are.
Well, you know, it's a process. It's a strategy. So you, there's an attack on intellectualism, and that may not necessarily be the right word, but when we look at Scripture, we see the New Testament, the writings of the New Testament, particularly writings of Paul. You see, clearly this man was an intellectual. Not that he was stuck on himself and he had
right.
knowledge and he was puffed up in knowledge, but this was a man who sat and looked at himself and agonized. Like I'm talking specifically about Romans, 6-7, particularly 7. He agonized about his condition before God. He thought he connected all the dots going back from the garden, how Adam messed up, and how Christ came to fix it.
Yeah.
And about the wretchedness of his own sin, and how he strove to do good, and how he desired to do good, but he couldn't do it, and how the answer was
Christ. Wretched man that I am!
Right. This is not a person. So this is not, and this is what we as Christians. This is what we should be doing. We should be examining ourselves, examining
right.
our condition, and so being a Christian is a thinking enterprise. It's in our spirit, our mind has been renewed.
That's right.
So
hallelujah.
We think about and pray about. We ask God about the things that we do, the things that we think, the things that we say.
Right.
Well, Kenneth Hagin and, or even before Kenneth Hagin, some people come along and say, you don't have to do all that.
Bypass your mind.
Yeah, bypass your mind.
Tell us that. Bypass.
Just go with the Spirit.
Yeah.
Don't worry about what don't think about what I'm trying to figure out what I'm saying. Just do it.
Yeah.
All these different things that, so it's little by little. And then, it's a process. It's a process. So, this where the things are now did not happen overnight.
No, it didn't.
Dollar, Eddie Long, they didn't get here overnight.
No.
It's a process of compromise.
Yeah, it's a process of compromise. And the thing is, all of us have been there at one point
mm-hmm.
or another, so,
mm-hmm.
We can understand it because there's a crossroad in our life for any of us that, desire any kind of public ministry. So
uh-huh.
there's a crossroad you take. Okay, you can go this
right.
way or you can go
that's
that
right.
way. You can go the way of Eddie Long and Creflo Dollar, and the invitations are out there to go that way. So,
but
the price that you have to pay
that's right.
to go there, and it's just not worth it.
And the sad part is they feel very little of the pain when things fall apart because they've got enough money. They don't feel the pain. Like Eddie Long, he's not really feeling the pain that the people in his congregation are getting ready to feel in
no.
experience.
No.
Look, I guarantee you, regardless of how this thing goes down, his wife is still going to be there. He's still going to have his mansion and his Bentley. And he's still going to have his $3 million, $6 million plus a year coming in.
Well, we'll see. I mean, that remains to be seen because I know after the Jimmy Swaggart and the Jim Baker scandal, they lost a lot of money and a lot of prestige. I mean, you didn't see Jimmy Swaggart on TV for the longest time.
Mm-hmm.
And that whole thing there in Charlotte fell apart. So, I mean, it'll be interesting to see, because there might be a lot of debt.
Right.
That we're not hearing about yet, because a lot of these ministries, they do have a lot of debt. They put on a good show, but they're
it's a house of cards.
Yeah, it's a house of cards.
And the things, and it, everything depends on a steady stream of income.
Yeah, right. Steady.
And
so it's not going to be so
like,
steady now.
Right. So something like this is definitely going to interrupt the flow. It's going to interrupt the cash flow.
Yes, and it, cash flow.
all it takes is interrupt that cash flow, and everything is coming down.
Yeah, it's coming down. So, I mean, it's going to be interesting to see how things play out in the weeks ahead. And I expect that there's going to be a couple more ministries that we're going to be hearing about. And so it's just always interesting to me to see how God does his judging. When he starts cleaning house, it's an interesting time that the church goes through. But anyway, Kevin, I want to thank you for tonight, because it was great, very interesting.
Thank you. It was a pleasure talking with you.
Yeah, you too. You're a blessing. So we'll be talking soon.
Absolutely. So so I just want to, again, thank you. And we just got to just watch and pray.
Yeah, watch and pray. Amen.
Pray.
Yeah, and thank you for your wonderful ministry, and everyone that's listening, don't forget to tune in to Kevin Oliver's YouTube channel, Not Your Typical Negro. I love the name. NYTN on YouTube. Hallelujah. And he's got some wonderful information on there to help you grow in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he's got a pure heart for God that comes through. So tune in to his YouTube ministry there, and you'll be so blessed. That's how I met Kevin. I was a big fan of his YouTube for a long time, and I'm glad the Lord hooked us up, because it's good to have a friend like you.
Well,
God bless
you,
brother.
Much,
okay?
We'll talk soon.
Yeah, God bless you, my brother. All right, everybody, thank you so much for everything tonight and for tuning in. And we do pray for Eddie Long. We do pray for his family. We ask God to help him through this difficult time, the people at New Birth Church. We remember you and your sadness over the events that have happened over these past few weeks. So God bless you all, and tune in again. Okay? Bye-bye.
Truth.
In the councils of government, we must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence by the military-industrial complex.
Are the Bible's prophecies today's reality?
This could be the sign that signals the return of Christ.
World leaders are working behind the curtains.
The very word secrecy is repugnant. In a free and open society, secret societies, secret oaths, secret proceedings.
Now, get ready for an hour of truth that will make you think. We'll examine Bible prophecy and see how close we are.